Hey, like it for a lead-in.
Oh, sister, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sister, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river. As I
come on.
Rise to pray, studying about the...
Okay. All right, guys. Not enough with the playing. I just go on. I'm going to act like I'm going to play a whole song or three or four just to kill most of my time to show y'all that I can start late just like everybody else can. But anyway, I hope everybody's doing well tonight. And, right, teachers, my foot. It's been a hot day down south. I'm sure it's been hot several other places, too. Ronnie can contest to that. I'm sure he was hot. The barbershop got up to like 105 on our front porch. So it gets pretty steamy when it gets like that. Even when you're sitting inside, you get acclimated and you look around and you start sweating some, but people coming in from outside said it feels good to them. Our barbershop is a cement block shop, and yeah, can y'all hear me okay? At our barbershop, thank you, our barbershop is a cement block shop, so it don't have a whole lot of insulation to it. We can feel the effects pretty quick when it starts getting hot. But let me get my recorder going here in case we start skipping out. At least we'll have a solid hard copy on my end. Okay, testing one. Okay, we got mine going. This is August 4th, 2015. This is Tony McCurry speaking. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for all the blessings that you give us in it. Lord, even though it's hot, Lord, we're still thankful for that. For knowing that with you will give us comfort. Lord, we ask that you be with those that aren't able to come. And Lord, we ask that you open the mind. We'll be listening in to this at a later date. And those that are listening in tonight. Be with me, Lord, as I deliver this message. And allow me to be plain and understanding to those that are listening. Lord, lead me, guide me, and allow me to deliver the word that you would have the listeners to hear. And we thank you for all these things. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. My last few studies, as we all know, have been on baptism. And believe it or not, I thought I was through, but when I got to looking, I don't think that I know I didn't finish. And the reason I didn't finish is because I went through the book of Acts and explained how baptism went from water baptism to spirit baptism, and trying to explain a traditional teaching, how they are still stuck in water baptism, whether it's sprinkling or immersion or even washing of feet. So it's my goal to bring forth the truth as concerning the problem with traditional teaching, how they get stuck in a rut as to believing what their forefathers and their forefathers taught before them. As those of us that have been in the traditional churches, we understand that because it's just at least once or twice a year they'll come over with the same message that's been taught for hundreds of years, but yet they don't rightly divide God's word and present it the way God would expect it delivered. Let me see if I can check my mic, Mel. It's turned up all the way, so just turn yours up wide open. But I've already spoken on three of the baptisms. And there's actually four that is in Scripture. The first one naturally was the dry baptism that I spoke of, where Moses carried Israel through the Red Sea onto dry land. And then there's water baptism of John. And then there's the Spirit baptism that is still enacted today. It was in the Acts period and the grafting in process. And then we have, it's still Spirit today, but where we're recognized with Christ. I don't know how to turn my mic up on this end other than, let me check this. Everything I got is about as open as I can get it, guys. I'm showing a good recording here, so if you can't hear, I apologize, but there will be a good recording on the website. But I'm starting to title my studies, and since how baptism is the first of the items that I'm going to be studying on, I'm going to call my studies Tradition versus Truth, and to bring forth the truth, like I said, is our obligation as body members and studiers of God's Word to bring forth it that way. As I state every time, there's two ways of destroying Christianity. One is to deny it, like typical atheists do, and the other is to displace it. And I would say that Satan seeks to displace it with ritualism or religion, and it may be used in the infantile or young stage, either of the world or the individual, and just leads to confusion. And we know who the author of confusion is. So, and it seems that religion as a whole gets stuck in the confusion and they believe it. So even though everybody here, I'm sure, knows that those that believe on Christ himself are going to be saved, without a doubt. But there's a better hope with the mystery once they study and learn God's Word rightly divided, as in 2 Timothy 2:15. So, looking at a future glimpse of a baptism that's not happened yet, but a future baptism, and it's fire. It's Christ himself will be the baptizer when he returns. Now notice I said when he returns. This isn't for today. So this is when Christ returns to the earth, is when this baptism, when he returns to the earth executing judgment. The twofold aspect of burning up waste and purifying or purging what needs to be kept, closely linked with the pouring out of the Holy same time. I'm going to read Matthew 3. I seem like I read that every time I do my baptism study, but this is where I was reading And I came up and thought, well, I missed a baptism here because there's two. Matthew 3, 5 through 12, and the subject is going to be in 11 and 12, but to lead up to it, I'm going to start in 5. Then went out unto him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were being baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw... When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee away from the wrath about to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for worthy of repentance. And think not to say wills, or be not of that opinion, we have Abraham to our father, or say unto you that God is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And already the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Now, the trees here is man. Root is their hope. Therefore, every tree which not fruit good, forth good fruit, is getting hewn down and cast into fire. And here's our verse. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not fit or equal to stoop down to unloose. He himself shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Neuna Hagion. It's not the article, but it's the power from on high. He himself will baptize you with the power from on high and with fire. So we've got two references here. And the CB states that this is a literal fire, whose fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge. That's diakatherizo. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now that purge, and I'll be used, when I go into 2 Timothy later, I'll use purge also, but it'll be a different Greek form. But thoroughly purge is to cleanse perfectly. This diakatherizo is to cleanse perfectly. When Christ does it, he'll do it perfectly. And the fan that's in his hand is a winnowing shovel. It says that God fans to get rid of the chaff. And in Luke 22:31, Satan sifts to get rid of the wheat. So when at the supper, Satan was trying to sift Peter, Christ said, Satan, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. See, God sifts out the bad stuff, and Satan tries to sift out the good stuff, you know, to get rid of the good stuff. Some commentators said that, felt that, that Satan tried to just stir. I kind of disagree with that. I think that, that Satan was sifting through the bad and pulling up the good to get rid of it. And where it says, he shall baptize, he is emphatic. He himself and no other will be doing the baptism. Now the chaff is number 892, and it's acheron. It's a grain husk left after the threshing. So the chaff is the husk that's left behind that gets burned up. When Christ comes back and cleanses it, he's getting rid of the junk. It's going to be burned up. And also, the fact that you have the Holy Spirit and with fire, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, then it seems like there's two references. But in the figures of speech, this is hendiades, or two for one. The Holy Spirit and fire, as like in Genesis 2:9, it's the tree of good and evil, or in Ephesians 6:18, where it's prayer and supplication. You get two words used, but one thing meant. Now, in this baptism is going to be taking place during Christ's day. And Ronnie's gave a study on Christ's day, God's day, man's day. And that's a study within itself, because I'm just touching on it. But Christ's day, man will be cleansed. And in the example that is given is in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Let's turn there. If you don't mind. There we go. For other foundation can no man lay beside that is laid. Oh, okay. Thank you, Chip. Which is Jesus Christ. Now, but if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, you notice all six of these things are perishable, all six of them. And in 13, every man's work shall become manifest. For the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, or in fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. This is a literal fire. If any man's work abide or stand, he which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If then any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, or as through fire. That which is true and genuine shall be preserved, gold, silver, as if it had passed through the fire, to cleanse, right, Jason, purify. Their whole character and opinion shall be investigated. And that which is good shall be approved, and that which is false and erroneous removed. And where it says, yet as by fire, it's he himself shall be saved. Yet as by fire. He went through the fire. The fire came through and took the junk and left what was pure or what was seen fit. So this person in reference was fire, but he passed through the fire. When the work itself, when we look at work, because we have a work and we have a walk. You notice I said that kind of like a Yankee. It, trust me, I had to really work on that because, as Ronnie can contest, we walk around here. You know, walk. We got all into our walk. I said one time that, you know, people cook with walks. I tend to walk around the block, okay? Anyway, that's a freebie. But work is to produce by action, labor or exhort. Labor, it's employment, exertion of strength, or manual labor, or that which is produced by mental labor. Work out your own salvation. How is that laborful? Because you study and study and study. That's labor. It takes something to do this kind of studying. So it's work. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, the prophecies of this particular day. In Isaiah 6:15, the Lord says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind, to render his angry with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." Now that might be God's day, but I feel it, this is the Lord's day. And in Malachi 3:2-3, "But who may abide the day of his coming?" Well, we know exactly what day that is, right? "And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi." Oh. Sons of Levi. Well, I don't think there's a mention of Gentiles here, are they? "And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." And then in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." The burning fires of that day, Paul says, shall reveal the character of every man's work. The fire sheds light on all around and discloses the true nature of things. And I failed to mention the fuller's, and like fuller's soap, that's the Hebrew form 35:26 is kabak, to trample, by stamping with the feet, literal, including the full process or figurative, fuller washing. Where I said that who shall stand when he shall appear, for he is like the refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Another in an Old Testament prophecy of Christ's day is Zechariah 13:8-9. And it shall come to pass that in the land that saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but a third shall be left therein. And I will bring a third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Jude 1:23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You see, you notice all these are still tied in with the verse in Matthew and in Corinthians. And in Psalms 97:1-5. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and are the inhabitant of his throne. A fire goes before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world, the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax in the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. You notice, all this took place at the presence of the Lord, at the presence. Just His presence, this happened. Now, Another fire, and I'm going to say this is like one of the world's baptisms, like in God's day. I think it's God's day, and Ronnie will probably correct me on this. But 2 Peter 3:7, and then I'm going to do 2 Peter 3:10-12, 10-12. But 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. Now, I think this. Now in 2 Peter 3:10-12, but the day of the Lord, and it does say Lord's day, but I still feel like this is God's day. I can't explain it, so there you go. Will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens shall pass away, okay? That's why I feel that this is God's day. And the elements shall melt, everything shall melt, with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is exactly the earth being baptized with fire. And then, what about Genesis 6? 12:13. This is going to be God cleansing the earth of sinful man. So Genesis 6:12-13, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. I'm sure you see that now. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the earth that was before the flood is a new creation after the flood. Just like in 2 Peter, the world that was before the day of God and through the cleansing elements will be a new earth after all that's taken place. So this is like two baptisms of the earth. And if you notice, every time there's a baptism, there's a cleansing process. So whether it's by fire or spirit or water, the baptism cleanses whatever the baptizee is. I'm sorry. That's just sorry Southern English, but that's what it is. So that's the fire baptism. So let's just go into, I'm through with that. Let's look into 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. And I'm going to be kind of skipping some, Chip, but I'm going to read 1 through 5 to start. And my subject is going to be in 21. But thou therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me by means of many witnesses, these faithful commit thou to faithful men, such as shall be competent, teach others also. Thou therefore suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. See, Paul is telling Timothy, you're going to suffer a hardship. This is a battle that you're in. And then 4, no one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So he's telling Timothy, don't get caught up in the worldly works and the affairs of this. Stay diligent to his word, in order that he may please him who hath chose him. Please Christ. Please God, who has chose him, Timothy, or you, the body member, to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And now 11 through 16. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, Christ, we shall also live with him. This is the baptism that we're recognizing. If we suffer, we shall also live with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. See, we can't pull the Peter and deny that who Christ is. Can we? I mean, that's what he's telling Timothy here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. For of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And here's our admonition to every body member. Study to show thyself approved of God. Everything that we study is to show ourselves approved. When we try and teach someone on the street, it is our job to explain to them in a way that will get them to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. And that's one thing that I've done, learned to just let it go aside. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then 19 through 21, Chip. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Here we are with the gold and silver, just like in Corinthians and in Matthew. But also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. I can look around and see a whole bunch of honor and dishonor. But the judge is going to be the one to say which one is honorable and which one is dishonorable. But in 21, if a man therefore purge, remember I said there's the purge? This purge, if a man therefore purge himself from these, this is ekathero, is to cleanse thoroughly. This is to cleanse thoroughly, whereas the other one that Christ purged was to cleanse perfectly. Which one do you think is going to get the better job done? Well, we know that answer. But we are told that if a man therefore purge, cleanse thoroughly himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is, hagiazo, holy, hallowed, purify or consecrate, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So here, who does the baptism? I mean, if it's a cleansing, and it's to cleanse your house, this is the body member that's, you could look at it as a baptism, you know, if you think about it, where you're cleansing, you're to if a man purge himself from these, that's kind of way around, okay, never mind. It's just a kind of a side thought that I kind of thought to myself. Yeah, it's kind of like we're kind of baptizing ourselves by policing our own works. You know what I'm saying? And in my last reference, in 1 Timothy 4, 8 through 11. And Ronnie and Chip, they always go on about this one. for body, the bodily exercise, work, okay, work. But now, Ronnie and Chip go on and say like, no, I ain't gonna exercise. No, man, you can go ahead. That's because it profiteth little. Yeah, that's true. It does, according to God's word, it does. For bodily exercise or work profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of life now is, and of that which is to come. You notice, it's profitable, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. So if you practice godliness, then you're going to be profitable unto all things. No matter what you do, if you have God constantly on your heart, constantly, earnestly praying for the believers, if we walk, according to God's plan, then we're going to profit. You know, maybe I'm not talking about monetary deeds. I'm saying we're going to profit in good health, good feelings, be blessed beyond measure just by practicing God's word and his works that we have to do by him. This is a faithful saying. Now, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And as a body member, these things command and teach. And that's the end of my baptism study. And I appreciate you guys for stepping in and listening to me ramble on tonight. But I felt like that came on me, and I couldn't let the fire baptism go, and I know I probably didn't do this. That's just weird. But let's finish up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for that you did for us from before the foundation. Lord, for that you did for us on the cross. Lord, for that you're going to do in future times. Lord, looking for that blessed appearing. Lord, we thank you for all these things, Lord, and all these things I ask in Christ's name.